Is from Psalm 19 today. Psalm 19 is found on page number 578 from the Pew Bibles, Psalm 19. If you like to open the Bible, the Pew Bibles, page number is 578, Psalm 19. Let's pray together before we reading this wonderful psalm. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us another wonderful psalm, Psalm 19, today. As we are ready to open and meditate and reflect and learn, we want to feel your presence. We want to see your holiness in our worship service, Lord. Would you please speak to us through this psalm? And as we are looking at this psalm, we also wanted to see only Jesus Christ. As I'm going to deliver the word of God to your people, also please use me and use my lips for your holiness, your purpose of your kingdom, so that we all see nothing but only Jesus Christ in our worship service. We pray all these things, your Son, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Psalm 19 has 14 verses. It starts like this. To the choir master, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit is the end of them. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether, more to be desired and they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, in keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servants also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. This is the word of God. Before jumping into Psalm 19, we have to deal with some technical part and portion of Psalm 19. Psalm 19 falls into two different parts. Maybe I can say three if we are going to talk about verse 12 and 13 and 14 differently. But I would like to say it has two different parts, which is starting from verse 1 and 7. And as we just read, a psalm of David, so we see that from these verses, David praises God's creation, verse 1 through 7, and God's revelation in his creation, we can say that. In this particular part, David used the God name, which is El in Hebrew, in this part, and verse 1 through 7, its style is a little bit long lines compared to the 7 to 15. Now, verse 17 and 15, here David praises God's law. we can say Torah, and also we can say the Scriptures, which is the Bible. And in this particular part, David used the word Yahweh, which is the Lord, and used in particular section 6 times, as we just read, starting from 7. From these sections, we know that this psalm is very God-centered, and God speaks to us. This is a worship psalm. And verse 7 and 15 is more like a short lines compared to verse 1 through 7. So people think that sometimes two different psalms, hymns, combined together. But other people say that, no, that's not right, because verse 1 through 15 is all present form. It unites with one present verbs. So we believe that this is one psalm. David wrote this particular psalm as one, not two. So the entire psalm we just read is related to somehow God's creation in Genesis 1 through 3. That records like a creation of the world and God's revelation in His Word. So, based on Genesis 1 Psalm and Psalm 19, we can see that this psalm is a wisdom hymn. Because David praises God's creation, encourages us to praise God's creation and God's revelation in His creation. It also helps us to praise the truth of God's Word, Scriptures. We can say Torah or God's law. Another way to say we can is God's revelation in Scriptures. So this is wisdom's hymn. So many preachers talk about this particular psalm as the to defense of the authority of the Scripture. Some preachers are using this particular psalm. But now today, we are going to focus on worship today based on Psalm 19. That's where I'm going to go. So this particular Psalm 19 is used for regular worship for the Israel people with music. Now, can you imagine with Psalm 19, with music, Psalm 19, without music? So we don't know the tune. But as we sing sometimes like hymns that we know, like Amazing Grace or Great is Thy Faithfulness, we love those psalms. And when you think of these two, Amazing Grace and Great is Thy Faithfulness, we think of this as a very beautiful tune and words and everything. Sometimes by listening its tune, we felt our heart is moving. So we can imagine that Psalm 19 must be a beautiful hymn when people gather together to praise God. So this is definitely a worship hymn. It teaches us how to worship God and how to praise God in our daily worship, in our daily life. So that's basically the beginning of the Psalm 19. So let's go into verse 1 through 7. The first part I can say that first part is we praise God's creation. We worship God's creation, God who created. Now, most commentators agree that this particular section, which is 1 through 7, has three distinctive parts as well, which is verse 1 to 3 and 4 to 6, 4 to 5 and 5 to 6. Now, although it has three different parts, John Calvin, I found it very interesting. I read John Calvin's commentary. I really liked him, his commentary. John Calvin weaves all these verse 1 through 7 as like the glory of God. So we see from David's confession, his praising God, we see the glory of God in his creation in verse 1 through 7, although it has three different distinctive parts that we're going to look at today. Now, first part is verse 1 through 3. Here, David declares that the world testifies God's glory. That's verse 1 and 3. Now, whether we and the people believe it or not, David says, there is God who created the universe with His word, and the proof is God's creation. Things in the world are praising God. Things that we see and everything day, outside trees and everything, they're praising God. So here David chose particular words to say that they are praising God and God's glory in creation. In verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. And the sky above, which is the one word in Hebrew, sky above, proclaims God's handiworks. Even goes verse 2, day and night also praise the glory of God. Now day represent the sun and light, and night represents the light of the moon and stars. Now here heaven and the sky above, and day and night, basically everything. Basically, these everything are the work of God's handiwork. It's verse 2. This whole thing, the whole universe that created by God, and everything in this world, in heaven and the sky above, day and night, they are praising God's glory and God's work. By thinking of that, that is really awesome. When we see trees standing next to us, next to our house and on the street, they are actually praising God and God's creation. Proves that there is God. God created us. So David is saying to his people today, whether you believe it or not, this whole universe recognizes the Creator, our God. And John Calvin says, God is the supreme architect. He created everything, the big thing and small thing, tiny thing, everything. It really challenges us. Do we really praise our God like all the creation, trees outside and little tiny creatures? Verse 3 is a very interesting verse. Although all creation is praising the glory of God, what our text says, there is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Now, a commentator that I read said, verse 3 explains God's glory, and God's glory is beyond the comprehension of human mind. What I'm trying to say is that we see God's almighty handiwork with our eyes, all the trees and everything and creatures and everything, but it's beyond our understanding. Because we don't actually hear God's voice. But it is true that at the same time, although we don't hear God's, although we don't hear a voice from them, the whole world exists because of God's mighty handiwork, creation. They are praising God. It's beyond our understanding. That's the first part. The whole world is praising God. And the second part in verse 4 and 5. Now, although we cannot hear the voice of creation and praising God, it goes a little bit deeper. The amazing voice continually goes out, although we don't hear them. But amazing, powerful voice continually goes out throughout all the earth. That's verse 4. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Can you imagine that? Still, the nature and God's creation praising God. The nature continually praise the glory of God, His revelation in creation. The nature itself recognizes the sovereignty of God. God created everything. God who is still holding the universe. But unfortunately, we don't see that. We don't hear their praises. But our text proves that God is there. God is in His complete control. The nature is praising the Lord. The interesting thing is, David uses the word the sun in our text as one of the best creation of God. In them, he has set a tent for the sun, it says.
And God has set a tent for the sun, which is very poetic language David is using. And David praises God's creation through the sun and God's creation. It goes verse in 5 and 6, which is a third part, a slowly, a smoothly moving third part. In these verses 5 and 6, we see two similes to illustrate about the sun, God's creation. Verse 5 now, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber. So David is using all the God's creature and creation. They are praising God, although you don't hear them. So among all the creation, David picked the sun. Yeah, look at the sun. And verse 5 said, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber. Now, verse 5 gives us an image of a groom, the groom, who is leaving chamber to enter the wedding place, which is joy and gladness, full of gratefulness. Here, David gives us more illustration of the sun in verse 5. And like a strong man, runs in its course with joy. The image of the strong man is a warrior or a hero who rejoices in the strength and power, the winning situation. So David uses that similes to express that nature is praising God. What David wants to say about the sun describes in verse 6. It will help us why he picked only one thing like a sun in verse 6. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and it's a circuit to the end of the dam, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. We know that when the sun rises, its heat reaches to everywhere. Well, that means God's glory and His majesty and His power reaches to everywhere in God's creation. It's comparing. The sun reaches to everywhere. Same thing is true with God's glory. In other words, it's saying that there is no doubt in this world that there is no God. There is God. There's no way to deny God's glory. Who created the world? And who created the world? He is the true God. Therefore, we worship Him. We worship Him, we praise Him, like the sun is giving us healing. Here David praises God, God's revelation in the nature. We praise God because God made everything, God created everything. God reaches His mercies and grace to us. Even into our life, small, tiny things happening every day, we find God's presence and God's grace there. So in other words, then do we praise God? Do we praise God like all the nature praises God? Do we sense that God's glory comes to our life? Even we are trying to hide somewhere. God's love and His grace reaches to us. There's no way to run away from His love. Now David moves, slowly moves, tones and everything change in verse 7 and 15. We praise God's written word, which is the Bible. Now this is the second part of David's praising God is all about God's word, which is a scripture, you can say the Bible, verse 7 to 15. Now, this part is very interesting because it's similar to Psalm 119. So we can read it, Psalm 119, which is really long. Now, especially verse 7 and 11, David talks about six aspects of scriptures. I'll go through really quick. Verse 7, two things. Verse 7, the law of the Lord. And 7, the testimony of the Lord, which is Calvin understood as a testimony as covenant. Verse 8, the precepts of the Lord. Verse 8, the commandment of the Lord. Verse 9, the fear of the Lord. Verse 9, rules of the Lord. Mistype here.
Although here David used six different aspects to describe God's law, the scripture, to praise his word and the scripture, here David clearly gives us the essence of the scriptures. That's very interesting. Six things here. The first one is the word of God. The word of God in verse 10, the word of God is reviving the soul. That's very exciting. Reviving means to restore. So you and I, we can be restored not by something else, but by God's word, by his promise. Every day when we open the scriptures, we can be restored. And as Jesus says, Matthew chapter 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God, which is Deuteronomy 8 and 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 16, we use this verse to defend the authority of the Bible. All scripture is breathed out of God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. The Bible, the God's word, is the way to revive our spirit, our soul. The God's word is the spiritual food for you and me. So we live by his word. And then our spirit is every day refreshed by the word of God. The word of God is surely profitable for teaching, for reproof, and for correction, and for training in righteousness. What a wonderful sentence and verse we just read. Nothing else. Another meaning is we as Christians cannot live in this world without the word of God. Second thing is the word of God is making wise the simple in verse 7. It can be understood as the word of God provides us wisdom, not something else. It's similar to that way, same expression is found in Psalm 119:105. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So the word of God is wisdom. I was thinking about this particular section. I strongly believe that when we seriously read the Bible more and more, we can be wiser and wiser. Because your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The word of God makes our heart to rejoice in verse 7. Rejoice in heart, the heart, since our heart is rooted in God's word, and then we produce joy and gladness in our hearts. Nothing else. If our heart is rooted in something else, we produce something else. But if our heart's rooted in God's word, we produce joy and gladness. And there is no other joy but the word of God for us. The word of God is the source of our joy. And every day, the source of true peace. When we are struggling, when we are in a very difficult situation, it is the power of peace and joy. That's why Psalm 1, beginning of this psalm, says, blessed is the man, and I skip some other words in verse 2, why? His delight is in the law of the Lord, finding joy and gladness from God's word. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted at streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. And its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Yields its fruit in its season. Every season we produce something. We meditate the word of God day and night,
not because we want to be successful, but we find joy and peace and truth and love and grace in our heart by reading the Word of God, faithfully reading the Word of God. The Word of God enlightens our eyes in verse 8. As John says, chapter 1 and verse 104, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in verse 3, all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Verse 4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So Scripture help us to find in God's truth. The Word of God reveals the truth. The truth of God's salvation. The truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we come to know Christ more and more about Him. Not by our experience. Not by hearing somebody telling us the stories. But only by His Word. God's revelation in the Scriptures. So we understand the power of God and His grace in Christ through the Scriptures. The Word of God endures forever, verse 9. That means God's Word is never changing. It's foundation of our faith. And the Word of God is righteous, verse 9. Now, sometimes if you read a verse 7 to 9, somehow people feel that David is talking about the law and Torah and everything. And that means we have to keep everything, keep it perfect to be saved. It's what David is saying. No. And verse 9 clearly gives us David's faith in God's Word. It says, the rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. That means David gives us an idea of where righteousness belongs. Where righteousness comes is not from us, not from somebody else, but it comes strictly from God's Word and His promise. God is the one who makes us righteous through our faith in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 3, 22. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. Therefore, in our text, David praises the law of God, the Scriptures, the Word of God. And he says in verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold. And even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and dripping of the honeycombs. I'm going to read it to you one more time. The Word of God is desire there than gold, and even much fine gold, and sweeter to our soul and spirit also than honey and drippings of the honeycombs. Reformed Christians emphasize the centrality of the Scriptures all the time because God reveals Himself in the Scriptures. As we just read from David's confession, the Word of God is perfect. There is no false and there is no error. And the Word of God is sufficient to know our God in heaven and His salvation plan for us. Therefore, whenever we open the Bible, it's desire are there than gold, even much fine gold. If we are looking for something else, money and power and honor, it's better than that. The power of God's Word is better than that. Sweeter than honey and honeycomb. The Word of God is perfect and sure and right and pure and clean and true. Then what's next? It's a wonderful text up to here. And all of a sudden, verse 13, David changes the tone of Psalm. In verse 13, it says, keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Something's different. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Now, we see that when David looked at the heavens and the skies, all the natures, and when he meditated the word of God, he praised God and God's glory, the glory of God. In verse 13, but when he began looking at himself and found himself, he was unworthy before God. That's his situation right now. When he was looking at all the creation, the word of God, he praises God. But when he looks at himself, oh Lord, I'm a horrible sinner. I'm a horrible sinner. So a commentator says about this particular verse, as his eyes turned back from the double and glorious vision to gaze upon himself, this commentator used the shock is almost too much compared to God's glory in this earth, compared to God's glory and his power from the Bible. David found himself, his own insignificance and unworthiness. So you know what he did? He asked for God's forgiveness. He prayed for God's protection from all kinds of sins. And he cried out for God's salvation and deliverance from his sinful life. He said two words, great transgression, in verse 13. What a powerful and sincere prayer that we found here. Keep back your servant from all presumptuous sins, let them not have dominion over me. It should be our prayer. We must praise the Lord. We must read the Bible and praise the Lord. At the same time, we find ourselves, oh Lord, we are unworthy in front of you. Please forgive our sins. Now David ends this psalm with prayer in verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Why? O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. King David humbled himself before God's revelation. King David asked God's mercy, forgiveness, and his grace. Now he confesses here, verse 14, God, you are my rock. You are my redeemer. Protect me. Help me. Now, C.S. Lewis says about this particular psalm, on his book, Reflections on Psalms, he said, quote, I take this to be the greatest poem in the Psalter. I didn't know that he said that. It's really amazing. I take this to be the greatest poem in the Psalter and one of the greatest lyrics in the world. I kind of agree. Very strong and very powerful. It moves our heart. It helps us to open our eyes to praise the Lord. Psalm 19 is the greatest psalm. It helps us to praise God's glory in creation. We know we heard lots of fires. People lost their homes and their properties, and firefighters lost their lives. That's really sad. We are saddened by all kinds of news around us. But think about it, in this difficult time, we don't stop praising God. Because we know that God will surely renew this creation when Jesus comes. This is not the end. We have hope. That Jesus is our hope and true hope. In Him, therefore, we rejoice all the time. As the sun rises and there is nothing hidden from its heat and power, at verse 6, God's mercy and grace in Christ shall remain with us forever. By reading this particular psalm, we again confirm God's promise, His covenant, His holy covenant in Christ. Think about it. If there is no sun, there is no life at all in this earth. The same is true for all of us. No Christ, no life. No Word of God, no life. But we do have His Word in our hands. We do have our faith in Christ. And John Calvin says, David celebrates the glory of God as manifested in His works, and in the other exalt and magnify the knowledge of God, which shines forth more clearly in His Word. Therefore, since we found God's glory and His revelation in His creation, we praise the Lord every day. We praise the Lord when we read the Scriptures. At the same time, as David prayed, we need God's help. We must ask God's guidance, ask for God's forgiveness. And also at the same time, we must praise Him in saying, Lord, my Lord, You are my rock and my Redeemer. Therefore, I praise You. Let's pray. And Heavenly Father, we have so many reasons to praise You. Whenever we look at small tiny creatures, and trees and flowers and rivers and seas and everything, we should praise You. Because You created everything. Even You created us as Your own image. Lord, thank You so much for giving us the Holy Scripture. Without the Word of God, there is no way to know You, understand Your plan and Your love for us. Lord, encourage us to praise You because we have this holy Bible in our hands. At the same time, Lord, help us to pray and ask for Your forgiveness during this time. Lord, we love You. We thank You. We pray, Your Son, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.